Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about what is happening this week up in the stars and in the sky above. So I've already had a very extraordinary day. I always seem to think that first thing in the morning, these extraordinary things are going to happen. And indeed, 10 to 6 this morning, my time, West Coast time, my husband says, Janet, get out of bed. You got to come and see this. So I wake up with a start. I roll out of bed and going across the sky. Now, mind you, the sky was clear at that point in time. And now if you can kind of see out my window, it is a dark and gray morning now, but it was clear at that moment. And as I walked outside and the bracing cold air caught me, I could see every star in the sky at that moment. And up in the sky was this trail of lights and they were moving. UFOs. Now, they're unidentified flying objects to me until I find out what the heck they were. But it was a long train of either military airplanes way high. I mean, this had to be 30, 40,000 feet up, because they were just these pinpricks of light and they were all in this long line and you could see them moving from about the southeast to the northwest. And I don't know what they were doing. And then every once in a while, a few of them would break the formation and go to the back. And it kept coming. For 10 minutes, I stood outside in the freezing cold to watch these lights. I still don't know what they are. They weren't moving like, you know, like alien UFO kind of things that I would have thought like they would move fast. These were more like if you were watching a train in the sky of lights going across the sky. And then the clouds rolled in and they were gone. Amazing. It was so, so amazing. So I hope all of you are having amazing and magical mornings. I have no clue what any of that meant. My thought is maybe a squadron of airline or of airplanes moving from one base to another. I don't know. But the magical would be that there's something else going on. I don't know what it is. And hopefully it's not something leading to some kind of military action, but I don't think that's the truth or the case at all, but it was certainly interesting to watch. So good morning to you, Amy Moore. I see Mimi and Debbie Hedden, Marissa. Good morning, Jan Landry and Karen Devine. Nice to see you ladies out here. So raise your hand if anything odd or weird or unexpected happened to you over the weekend. If you'll remember on Friday, I gave a very clear warning that said, watch out for the weekend because Mars was going to be in an opposition to Uranus and that could bring surprises, upsets, unexpectedness. Be very careful if you were driving a car or operating a metal vehicle of some sort or metal machinery and knives, right? Well, I told you all, but I didn't tell my own family. Because most of the time they don't ask about what's going on astrologically, and I don't just make it a habit to call them. They know if they need information where they can go and get it. They know how to use the phone to call me and let me know they have a question. But I didn't think to talk to my Taurus daughter, because remember, Uranus is in Taurus, and she and her husband got into an automobile accident, minor to be sure, on the freeway on Saturday evening, and where some guy tried to zoom around them on getting on the freeway. He's on the right, they're on the left, getting ready to merge into traffic, and he just winged them right on the side. And luckily, minor, they're not hurt. Nobody was hurt. But that is how we live, astrology people. When things like that happen, we see it ahead of time, right? We don't know who it's going to happen to particularly unless I have every person's chart in front of me, but we know that the potential is coming up, and then indeed something might happen around that. So self-fulfilling prophecy, not really, because I didn't tell her about this. And also sometimes people go, well, that was just a coincidence. Not so much, right? Not so much. When these things happen, they're often something that happens because of a transit that's occurring in someone's chart. So anyway, we have a lot to talk about today. It's Monday. Welcome everybody to the new week. And I have not only one page of writing, but two pages to talk about today. So let's dig in, shall we? We have a lot going on this week as we are moving into the new moon window. The new moon occurs tomorrow at 7:06, is it? 7:06 a.m. Pacific time, so 10:06 for you all on the East Coast, at 4 degrees of Sagittarius. The new moon is when the sun and the moon come together in a conjunction. We call it the dark of the moon sometimes because there's no light coming from the moon because we don't see the moon. It's too close to the sun. It's in the glare of the sun. So what does that mean? Well, we'll get into that in just a minute. Let's talk about where we are today. Today, it is the moon in Scorpio for the full of the day. We have the moon in Scorpio trine Neptune and sextile to Saturn and Pluto. So that happens. We're already, those transits are already in process because the moon turns void, of course, at 9:30 my time this morning. So 12:30 p.m. for you all on the East Coast. So from then until just after midnight my time, 3 a.m. for you all on the East, the moon will be in the void. That means all day long. What a day, right? Monday, starting the Monday with some potential for taking action. And then very shortly, it all falls apart, right? It all just goes apart. Now, if you're here in the U.S., of course, this week is also Thanksgiving week. And that means that likely it's going to be a slower week. Either that or you're going to try to pack the week early so that you can get things done and then be free for Thursday, Friday. My husband even gets off early on Wednesday. So, you know, we have this holiday coming up. So we need Monday and Tuesday to try to get things done. And here we are in a void, of course, moon. At just a little after midnight my time, the moon will move into Sagittarius. And it won't be long after that that it becomes new. Now, if we look at the week ahead, today we have Venus moving into the sign of Capricorn, and we have tomorrow's new moon in Sagittarius, and then on Wednesday we have Neptune turning direct, and then Thursday and Friday are a sort of train, if you will, of transits that are occurring that can flavor how, if you're in this country, your Thanksgiving holiday goes. But no matter where you are, you want to understand a little bit about the transits that are occurring later in the week as well. For example, let's just see on Thanksgiving Day, Mercury trine Neptune, not such a bad one, and Venus trine Uranus. Well, that one could be a little upsetting. And then on Friday, Mercury sextile Saturn. So while they're not, you know, setups for tragedy, there's certainly a lot of high energy running through those transits on Thanksgiving and on Friday. So we have a busy week ahead astrologically, but not necessarily a crazy one. Last week's were a little crazier. This week, I feel like these transits are setting us up for potential and for what comes next. And you got to know we're inching ever closer to 2020. And the energies are already, if you look at the chart itself, which one is this one? This is the moon today's chart. If you look at the chart, you can see how they're already stacking up right here, right? These three houses or these three signs, Scorpio, Sagittarius, and Capricorn, are already highly populated. And they are creating a pattern, an astrological pattern that we call a bucket. And the bucket is when the planets form the basis or the bucket, the inner part of the bucket, and one other planet or two, in this case, there's only one, are holding the handle of the bucket. And usually that means that a lot of the energy of the bucket is being transferred to the planet at the top or the handle. And the handle of this particular bucket pattern is the North Node, destiny. So there's sort of an air of destiny in everything that is happening right now. North Node is our maturing point. Where's the energy maturing to and how will it be expressed? And that North Node destiny is sitting at about 8 degrees today, 8 degrees of Cancer. And Cancer being the sign of the mother, the sign of putting down roots, the sign of the foundation of home, and family and loved ones and the caretaking, nurturing that we do, that we apply in raising our families or in bonding as a family. So it's the family unit and our individual place within our families and our communities and our tribes that are holding the power for us in the moment. Not just in the moment either. I mean, as we move forward, this pattern becomes a little more, you know, pronounced, maybe a lot more pronounced. Let's just face it. I'm trying to sugarcoat it. And why sugarcoat it? Because planets are moving one by one into Capricorn. They're already there. And, you know, there's going to be others in there by the time we get into January. And the North Node is holding the handle for that energy all there in Capricorn. Cancer on one side, Capricorn on the other. So what are we learning? We're learning how to transform our world, transforming our world to a kinder, gentler, more unified, family-oriented, tribe-oriented, community-oriented world. I hope that makes sense to everybody. It is sort of a process. It doesn't happen all in one day. Certainly, we've had this energy of the North Node in Cancer and the South Node in Capricorn for a while. Capricorn's South Node is undoing that more militaristic, disciplined, government-oriented, institutional energies in favor of the more family-oriented energies. And it always reminds me, this whole setup reminds me of a quote that I heard Marianne Williamson say one time, which is that the problem with government is it's run like a business or a corporation, and it needs to be run more like a family or a tribe or a community, because in a family, tribe, or community, everybody's needs are addressed. And in a corporation, it's all about profits and the bottom line and making investors happy, or investors. Yeah, making the investors happy, the stock owners happy. So it leaves out the common person, where the North Node is pushing us to include the family. So the family of human beings, the family, the greater family, and the inner family. So it's an interesting time we find ourselves in. You know, we've been looking at this building up for a very long time. And here we go, right? We're right in the crixt of it. Okay, let's see who else is joining us this morning. Christine Erickson, good morning. Tara, good afternoon. She says, all oddness this morning, and it feels like energy moving on again now. Yes. Mimi says, building new moon. No wonder sleep was a bit off and already feeling the void, of course. You got it. Londa, good morning. Susan Glavin, good morning, sweetie. Asa, good morning to you. Camille, good morning. Colleen, good morning. Great to see everybody here with us this morning, looking at what's coming for us this week. So today's last final planetary transit before the moon turns into the void is the sextile to Saturn and Pluto. Sextile is a 60-degree angle between planets. It sort of connotes an ease and flow of the gifts and the talents between the bodies that are involved. So in this case, the moon in the sextile to Saturn and Pluto. Saturn and Pluto we're damn familiar with, aren't we? They've been in Capricorn and they have been responsible for destruction and reconstruction, building a new tomorrow, exposing the weaknesses and the underbelly of things, the exposing of the unsustainable forces that are in our world so that we can destroy them and rebuild. But we don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. The moon says we can build on what we already have as long as we find a way to shore up the weaknesses, or maybe we have to go all the way down to the bricks, to the foundation, and rebuild. So we're looking for the high side of how we can rebuild something in our world. And that's the outer world as well as our inner world. What are you rebuilding from within? Remember last week I sent you guys the link to be able to join up with the True Manifesting with Michael Beckwith. And what he talks about in that is what in you is wanting to emerge. And that's a part of this process too. But in order to let what's in you emerge, you have to likely let go of something. What might you have to let go of or destroy, take it down to the very bare bones and rebuild with? So some of us may be in varying stages of that reconstruction project, but let it begin from within in a nurturing environment so that what comes out is also lasting. Now, Venus moving into Capricorn favors the lasting, right? She favors what can we build that is of a lasting nature as it relates to our relationships, our money, and our values. So that's what Venus's focus is on. In Capricorn, she wants relationships built on the support that we have for one another. I was watching a show last night, I don't know, some mindless thing called The Mentalist. It's not mindless, actually. It's kind of fun to watch. But the two of the characters were in a dilemma. The wife was being asked to be the undersecretary of commerce or something like that in the government. Her husband is the director of the FBI. And there was a project that he was on that apparently calls into question her fitness for her position, even though she wasn't even involved in it. So it is so poignant, though, because he's in such support of his wife that he's willing to let go of his position to move on with her. And then she's like, no, you've spent a lifetime building this you know, career. You can't do that. We have to find another way. So relationships in Venus are people who are supporting one another's ambitions, goals, loves, desires, etc. So we're looking for that kind of thing in our relationships now. How can you support me and how can I support you to living your dreams, right? To living your ambition, your goals, your vision. Venus is also looking for the long term in relationships, not just the love affairs that may last, you know, a short period of time. So our antenna, if you will, are sort of out there looking for people with traits that will last with us, that are really in resonance with us as people, as you know, what that are aligned with our values and our hopes and dreams and goals and ambitions. So right now the values are on endurance, strength, things of lasting value. Not the fads and the trends that come and go, but something that's going to have lasting value. We're also going to be focused a bit on financial stability, financial moderation that leads to stability. And it's not lost upon me that next week at about this time, December 2nd, I can't even believe that'll be December, but December 2nd, which is next Monday, a week from today, we're going to be having this conversation. Later this week, we'll have this conversation on Jupiter moving into Capricorn. So Jupiter and Venus both will be in the sign of Capricorn. That last time that this happened was 2007, 2008, as we launched our economy down the toilet into what was one of the deepest recessions that we'd had in a long time. Now, I'm not saying that we're headed in that direction. I don't see that. Financial astrologers don't see that with this one, although, because there's so many other big things happening as well. But it could be some kind of financial hit. The best way to deal with that is to create a new financial stability, to engage in financial moderation, and not to be spending willy-nilly. You know, we're coming out of the high optimism of Jupiter in Sagittarius, and then immediately Jupiter's high optimism moves into the constricting territory of Saturn in Capricorn. So we have maybe those extravagances and the excesses of the one sign that come into karma calls home, comes to roost, while Jupiter ends up in Capricorn. Now, this is a year-long process. It doesn't happen overnight, right? But watch the signs that start building. In 2007, we started seeing the signs of the mortgage bubble and of the markets and corporations that were in trouble, right? So we saw these things building. There were warning signs and we ignored them. Not we as we the people so much, but corporation. Well, I guess, you know, we're all involved. So we can't just say, oh, blame the corporations or blame the government, because we are the people. We are the corporations. We are the government. So we also need to take responsibility for creating this financial moderation. Now, also during this time that Venus is in Capricorn, she will conjunct Ceres, she will conjunct the South Node, she will conjunct Saturn, and she will conjunct Pluto, all in succession, very quickly compared to, say, Jupiter, that will do the same thing over the course of a year. So we're going to get these little bumps. So pay attention to this next, from November 25th today until December 20th, when Venus is moving through this space, watch the news, watch what's going on in your own communities, because you're getting a foretaste, a foreshadowing, if you will, of the potential for the longer transit of Jupiter moving through this sign. And of course, the pileup of planets in this sign for 2020. Are there going to be cracks that show up in the financial system? Is there going to be cracks that show up? The cracks are already showing up in the government, right? So what else is it that it will become apparent for us throughout the next 30 days, basically? Well, a little less than 30 days. And that kind of foretell or foreshadow what comes up over the next year. Maybe even just get a little journal and, you know, of notes, things that get called to your attention. But also looking at your own life, because Venus is a personal planet. So it isn't just the outer world. It is also personally, what are the things that you're seeing? Here is a time where the excesses become apparent, right? So we're looking for that. Basically, so to leave you on a good note here, I mean, it's not all about the excesses and the extravagances and la la la. It's about, where can we make things stronger? Where can we build a more solid foundation that has lasting energy, that isn't going to crack tomorrow, right? I was watching another show one day about a bridge that was built here in Washington State, and it was built, this was in the 40s, so right after, I think, World War II, and it was built shoddily. And within a couple of years, a major windstorm came along. It was in Tacoma, called it Galloping Gertie. And it literally was galloping and busted apart and broke and collapsed down into the water below. And so when we build upon a shoddiness or a not, you know, stable foundation, that kind of thing, a windstorm that comes along that creates havoc, becomes an exposure for us and not a place of stability or solidity. So we're looking for the solid. And if you build something now just to get it out there and to get it, you know, into the world, then likely it's not going to stand the test of time. We're looking for standing the test of time. Okay, what else is going on? Latricia, good morning to you. Lisa Kenny, good morning. She's decided to rebuild new direction in her nursing career. Nice. I love that. You'll have to tell us more about that and how that goes. Let's look. We also have a couple of minor things moving through the sky this morning. Sun in a semi-sextile. I'll tell you about that in a second. To Uranus. So yesterday we had Jupiter and Venus conjunct Mars opposing Uranus, right? That's a lot going on in one day. And it built, and then it was, and now it's separating, and it still is, right? It's still the sort of the ramifications, perhaps, of what has happened over the weekend. Well, today we have the Sun that comes into, it's not a particularly negative transit, and it's not a particularly good one. A semi-sextile is a 30-degree angle relationship between the planets, the Sun in Sagittarius and Uranus. Excuse me, I lied. Quincunx. This is a quincunx. That is scritchy. That is crazy. That is irritation. The Sun in an inconjunct to Uranus. Uranus is in Taurus. The Sun is now in Sagittarius. Sagittarius and Taurus are signs that don't exactly see eye to eye. And there is likely going to be some kind of change in your plans or a course of direction that you've been taking. Something might come up as an impediment to forward progress, and you might have to take some time today to deal with something like that. Also, this brings up restless energy. The Sun in an inconjunct means that we might have to plan for the unexpected, Right. And of course, it can trigger fear in us as we don't necessarily, we're kind of creatures of habit. This kind of a transit can sort of prickle us from within. And the prickle you feel might be that fear of change. And what does that mean if I change this? I've always done things this way, right? And isn't that the way I should keep going? When in reality, it's about adapting to a new reality. Right. So we're all sort of being forced into adapting to a new reality. The minor transit that's going on today is between Mercury and Jupiter. It's a minor disturbance to our decision-making processes. Let's just put it that way, that you may be inclined to waffle back and forth a little bit. Tuning in to your intuition can be a little more difficult today. And I'll tell you why on a bigger stage. And that's because Neptune, the planet that represents our instinct and our intuition, our connection to spirit, is about to change direction. On Wednesday, he will turn forward from his retrograde station. And while Neptune is retrograde, we get really used to hearing the inner voice. We get used to being able to tune in easily. When Neptune turns direct, it reinstates sort of that fogginess or that inability to really hear clearly. We have to really do more meditation or yoga. We have to move our body and our minds outward. Away so that we can hear what's going on within. So tuning in may be more difficult today. And that's given to two things. One, Mercury in this minor square to Jupiter, but also because Neptune is slowing down to a crawl for its direct station on Wednesday. So minor disturbances, nothing huge. In the bigger picture, it is just sort of another symptom of our needing to shift and move and get out of our own way. And having to do that can sometimes bring up or trigger us to be dealing with fear. And remember, we still have Mars in Scorpio. So we're still looking at the deeper, darker places for some of the things that we need to do. And they're coming up from the depths in our dreams, maybe, in our interactions with other people. That's cold coffee. Ick. Hold on. Forgot to heat that up before I started this morning. Okay, so go with the flow, I guess, is the way that we could look at that. Go with the flow today. Now let's take a look at the new moon tomorrow. It happens really early in the morning, so we want to deal with that today so that you're prepared for it in the morning. By the time I come on air tomorrow morning, the new moon will already have occurred. So let's talk about it now, shall we? And let's see who else is joining us. Sarah, good morning. Kathy Miller, good morning. Mimi says, yes, foggy. Want to start a new scarf, yet no idea of what to do has stuck. Maybe a planetary one with the planets across the background of stars. It's an idea. Let's talk about the new moon. 4 degrees of Sagittarius. Let's look at it for the moment through the gene keys and through the human design. Both the sun and the moon will be at the gate 34 tomorrow. And the sun is already at the gate 34. The earth is already at the gate 20. That manifesting generator energy is triggered within us, right? That get a lot done. I woke up on Saturday morning. I shared this with some people, but I don't think I shared it with everybody. I woke up on Saturday morning, bright and ready to roll. I mean, I said to my husband, I've got all of these ideas. These things are running through my head. I get my journal and I'm sitting there writing idea after idea. It was like somebody turned on the waterworks and all of these things were just coming through. Typical manifesting generator style, tons of ideas, Jupiter and Venus sitting at the gate 11, my own Earth sitting at gate 11, generation of ideas is not uncommon for me, but it started coming in. And as I wrote these things on this page, it was very clear to me, this manifesting generator energy, because one project was that way, one was that way, one was that way, another one was that way. And I realized, thank God I'm writing this down and not attempting to take action on all of these things today. So instead of taking action in these crazy directions, which would not be according to my type and strategy. I just wrote them crazily down on this page. And of course, that means then I have them to go back to and refer to later. But that's the energy of the sun and now the moon sitting at the gate 34. There's this power that's pulsing through the sacral and it's seeking expression, right? And it has a direct line right now to the throat where it can manifest. So we want to be very, very careful about how we're using our power right now. The negative, low, fear-based, shadow-based energy here is force. Forcing things to happen, pushing our way into something rather than allowing. And or if you're a generator type, then responding to what shows up in your outer world, even if you are a projector, a manifester, or a reflector at this point, you're feeling this energy and it's wanting to push outward from you. It means that you want to get a lot done. You have a lot of things, goals, aspirations. We're going into a busy week here with Thanksgiving in the US and people getting ready, shopping for dinner, preparing the home for guests, or, you know, preparing food. And then, of course, after Thanksgiving, the traditional Black Friday. So there's a lot of energy that's forcing up or pushing up. And we could get into and tap into force, which would mean we are pushing, where instead the real power lies in strength, right? Strength, following the river, just going with that flow. Where is it taking me? And is there something in my outer world to respond to do something? Or is this just a state of being that I'm in? So we have to be very careful with this new moon that we don't just go willy-nilly and begin, you know, 15 projects, because by the time we get to the middle of the week, we lost that energy. The sun and earth will move on and we will be left with a trail of debris of ideas that we tried to take action on, or energies of having done so much that we are now exhausted. So take care with this energy, right, this week. With the new moon sitting here gives us the opportunity to set intentions and to move through manifesting what it is that we are, what's really true for us personally, what is really true. This gives us, I believe I got this from Dane Rudyard's book, The Astrological Mandala, where if you look at the degree that the moon and earth, or moon and sun, excuse me, will be sitting at, you get poised and wise approach to living. So we are creating a poised and wise approach to living. So we get to have wisdom here. The wisdom is about creating peace beyond conflict, the inner conflict, the outer conflict. It is about following a path, a quest for truth that is correct for you. And looking at the bigger truths, right? This is with the moon and sun both in Sagittarius, the quest for truth is high on our list of intentions. Is it through your religion or your spirituality? What is the truth there? What are the underlying truths? What aligns, if you lined up all the religions, what are the common threads? Right? What is the common thread that moves through all of our major spiritual practices? This is a quest for truth through prayer or meditation or seeking higher guidance through your angels, your guides, your inner truth, whatever you want to call that. This quest for truth also takes us into ritual and ceremony and building altars, or creating sacred spaces within your own homes or when you're in your offices, right? That remind you that you have direct communication to source or to your higher self. So this moon puts us in a position of listening to higher guidance or listening deeper within us. Sagittarius energy also rules the natural world. So our intuition and our instinct is part of the natural world. Driving through fields here about a few days ago, watching, you know, geese and swans that, you know, lift off almost as if by magic as one organism to fly when they're disturbed. Instincts. We are all a part of this. We have an instinct and an intuition that is protective, but also puts us in alignment with our good. excuse me. This is a time for peace of mind, for being in alignment with the natural cycles of the world, the natural cycles, the natural based on the word nature, right? Being in alignment with nature. And of course, one of the biggest words that we can go to for Sagittarius energy, freedom, freedom with the capital F, freedom. So that brings up intentions set around adventure or exploring, discovery energy, foreign travel, being spontaneous. Again, from a human design aspect, watch being spontaneous if you are emotionally defined. Don't make big life decisions in a spontaneous way. Follow your type and your strategy and your authority. But we can tap into that spontaneity, that burst of laughter, that burst of joy that can come out of us, right? Sagittarius and Jupiter also, Jupiter's the ruler of Sagittarius here, rules the law. The law plays a big part as we move into 2020. And in the law, then, it is about attorneys and lawsuits. But beneath all of that is ethics, transparency, morality, conscience. And of course, court proceedings. But I think the big takeaway from this one with the law is about ethics, right? What is ethical? And I guess another word I could put there is integrity. Integrity. Jupiter and Sagittarius rule optimism. Optimism. So here's where we have faith and being friendly, you know, being outgoing, having good luck by being in the right place at the right time with the right opportunity and the right people, because instead of pushing, you went with the flow, right? Instead of forcing, you just held strength in knowing that everything would come to you that was right for you. You don't have to go out and force your way into something. It will approach you. So having the faith and the trust that that will happen. And when it does, then good luck seems to happen. That generosity finds you. So maybe the intention is that you will, instead of pushing or forcing, you will allow. You will be in a state of allowing, a state of just attracting from your magnetic monopole here in your identity center, the yellow diamond or the white diamond central to your human design, which is only magnetic in one direction. It can only attract. So be an attractive force for what you want, not a force pushing to get what you want. There's a difference. Sagittarius energy also rules higher education. So mentors, finding someone that you really trust, that you look up to, that is a role model for you, or looking to yourself as a source of knowledge and mentoring of yourself. Colleges, universities, philosophy, seeking answers, and finding solutions. This is also a part of the Sagittarius journey. An interesting part about the gate 11 where Jupiter and Venus are sitting is that the 11 has tons of ideas, right? And they're always seeking answers. It is the path of the seeker, but not necessarily the finder. So sometimes seeking answers is an outer world process that brings us back home to self. And we discover that we never needed to go looking for the answers outside of us because they were within us. That is also a part of this new moon, Sagittarius energy. And there's also a sense of carelessness. If we got to go to the negative side of things, carelessness energy comes through Sagittarius as it tries to take shortcuts. It does things quickly. It is that self-righteousness that comes from thinking you know it all, that you know the truth, and that the truth then is something that everybody else needs to line up in and listen to you because you are the holder of the truth. Self-righteousness, not something that's positive. Making assumptions about what you need, about what the world needs, about who's doing what's wrong with someone else, without even thinking about what you're doing. Remember, assuming makes an ass out of you and me. So assuming energy is one of those careless kind of energies. Assuming you know. Excesses and extravagances also come through. Sagittarius, bluntness. We talked a little bit about that last week, where as the sun moved into Sagittarius, I said, watch what words you're going to be saying and how you're going to say them, because Sagittarian energy is very blunt. It's direct communication. Direct communication isn't a problem, but bluntness can kind of hurt people's feelings. And as we've heard and learned about the throat center, it works best when the energy is invited out of you, not just spoken without the invitation. So we'll want to watch for that. Now, in the body, every sign, every planet has a part of the body that it has rulership over. In Sagittarius, it's the hips, the liver, sciatica, which of course is that pain nerve pain that can go down the back, or from the back, it runs down the legs often. And then your thighs and your upper legs. So the quads and all the musculature in the upper legs and where it attaches to the hip are all part of the Sagittarius path, or the part of the body. So if you're experiencing some of these symptoms in those parts of your body, then to look at your own chart, then go to Sagittarius and maybe look at, where have you taken shortcuts? Where are you self-righteous? Where are you doing excesses or extravagance, bluntness, assuming? Where are you not in alignment with the natural world? Where are you not engaging wisdom? Where are you not poised and using a wise approach to life and instead creating havoc in your life? So the new moon comes along and it gives us this opportunity to redirect our energies, right? To start something new, to behave in a new way based on the sign that it's moving through. So our new opportunities are about creating freedom, optimism, having faith, being in the flow of energy and not pushing the river. Sounds like a pretty good moon. There are also a couple of transits. Do I have that page? Yeah. So when we look at a new moon or a full moon, it behooves us to look at the other planets that will be aspecting the moon and the sun in this particular period of time. And so we have the sun conjunct the moon, but we also have the sun in a semi-sextile to Mars. That's where the semi-sextile was, the 30 degree angle. Sun in Sagittarius, Mars just behind, 30 degrees in Scorpio. So what we really have, and this isn't a bad, the 30 degrees puts it in neighboring signs, right? Scorpio and Sagittarius are neighboring signs. They're not exactly the best of pals, but there's not like a total disregard for each other's energy. But what I think can happen here is that this actual transit might help us evaluate what still lies beneath the surface for us to clear in order to get where we want to go. You know, Mars is still in an empowered position in Scorpio, digging up, right? Looking deeper. And the sun in Sagittarius being on a quest for truth and a quest for freedom is, you know, intelligently connected to some of that deeper stuff here. So we're still looking at that and possibly attracting some more, another level of knowledge for ourselves in what takes place next. There's a semi-square, a 45 degree angle between the sun and Saturn and Pluto, sun, moon, Saturn, Pluto. And Uranus, bless us. There is that energy, that in conjunct energy. We're still having to adjust. We're still having to move through some of the upsets and some of the unexpected things that come up in our world. And there's also a trine to Chiron. So Chiron is helping us heal, healing the wound of self-sufficiency and interdependency, as opposed to becoming codependent or uber independent, the two opposite ends. So how are we all in this together? right? We're all here on in this divine comedy that we're acting out here on this planet, and how can we play together better? That's kind of what these planets are bringing us to for the new moon. All right. How's everybody doing with this stuff? Let's see here. Oh, thank you very much, Sarah. Mimi says, thank you. Galactic could work a go with the flow kind of place. Exactly. Oh, I just got this picture, Mimi, of the spiral of our galaxy with the galactic center in it. And then coming out of it, almost like musical notes that are coming out to us on the Earth, you know, showering us with this potential music of the spheres. Ha. Now you go draw that because there's no way I could. Amy says, my north and south node are at 4 degrees Virgo Pisces. Interesting. So you could look at this a couple of ways. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you that in a minute. So you could look at this a couple of ways. One, if where is 4 degrees of Sagittarius in your chart? So in my own chart, Sagittarius, I think, is on my fifth house. 4 degrees is likely at the end of my fourth or my fifth. So is it me aligning myself with creative energy? I would say, yeah, because that seems to be happening. And maybe it's in your first house. So you're having to look at, you know, how do you strengthen and empower you, the yourself, right? If it's in your 10th house, maybe it's playing out in your career or in the way that you interact with the outer world. So you've got to find where 4 degrees Sagittarius is first and look at that. The other thing that you could look at is, do you have other planets or points at around 4 degrees in your natal chart? Because in some way, then they're forming an aspect to the energy of 4 degrees of Sagittarius. So when you look at Sagittarius, 4 degrees of Sagittarius, and she's speaking about 4 degrees of Pisces and Virgo. So that is 30, 60, 90 degrees. These are squaring. Sagittarius is squaring your Virgo Pisces nodes are being squared by this new moon. So that may be a challenge. Like the gauntlet is being laid at your feet, Amy. What are you going to do? Right? What are you going to do? How are you going to rise to the challenge of claiming your quest for truth or claiming your wisdom, your path? I don't know what houses those are sitting in your chart, but that should be an interesting conversation for yourself to talk about or write about. Colleen says, that's my usual day, but I've been a bit extra. My manifesting generator self has a hard time not taking action on everything. And manifesting generators definitely are here to be able to juggle multiple projects, multiple taking of action, right? But they still have to wait to respond to what is showing up in their outer world and using their authority. If it's emotional, if it's sacral, is it the spleen? Is it ego energy? Most likely it's not. And likely it's emotional, which slows it down a bit while you tap in to what feels good to you, what feels correct for you. And it doesn't mean that you can't do multiple things, but the others of us, the generators and even the manifestors and projectors and reflectors, we're not designed to do multiple things. But right now you may be trying to do that. And while you have the energy to do it, it's great, but it could lead to exhaustion. And what happens when the transit ends, right? Then you're left with 10 projects that you started that maybe you even committed to, and now you're really exhausted. It maybe even pulled you off your original path to accommodate all those extra tasks or all of those extra opportunities. So again, being aware, you only take action on what's showing up in your outer world if you're a manifesting generator or generator, and you follow your authority. Following your authority saves your butt. In a very positive way. Lisa Kenny, son, a Sagittarius senior and looking at college options. Right. That's pretty cool, right? How do I grow and expand once I'm done with this level of my learning? Marissa, will this energy go into Thursday through Saturday? I have plans to reorganize and paint my living room. Yes, it does, because we're talking new moon energy and we're talking about how that sets us up to move forward. And with intention, right? With intention. And let's see what happens later in the week, Thursday. Hold on, I got to pull my book over here, my little book of wonders. Thursday, Thanksgiving Day. Yeah. We have some pretty good energy, actually. I think that's probably a good use of your energy, Marissa. Colleen says, so my sun and moon are being challenged. I don't know. Likely. Aren't we all? Amy says Sagittarius in the fourth house. And I'm already feeling that pressure to know what I want. I hope to figure it out today. So here's the thing. Knowing what you want. Knowing what you want isn't something that comes from the mind. And Sagittarius will likely try to get you into a thinking process. What it would suggest in the fourth house is something that really grounds you, something that really from the foundation of who you are, not something that you know through learning about, you know, through writing, etc. It's the very foundational you, right? The very foundational you might feel like being an educator. Might be, you know, really into teaching, whether it's children or others, or teaching yourself, learning, right? Being an explorer, getting out into the natural world, becoming a field guide or a tour guide, a travel agent. I don't know for sure, but there's something very fundamental to you, Amy, that you should be very aware of. And that's forming your foundation here. The nodes are just challenging you then from what probably the first to the sixth house, seventh house to actually take action, right? To really live the truth for you, for yourself, to get to the details of it, right? Sagittarius sees the bigger picture because it's ruled by Jupiter. The nodes are in Virgo and Pisces. Virgo sees the details. Pisces is the imagination. So depending on which one is which here, is the North Node Virgo is or North Node Pisces, either you're going to have to lean into your imagination and creative self, or you're going to have to get the details and the plan together and take action step by step. I think it's more of the doing now, right? I think you know. I think the next part is the challenge to do, to take action, to respond to what is showing up in your outer world for you. Marissa says, yay. And Colleen, Virgo sun. Why do I always forget that? You're a Virgo sun, Colleen. So my sun and moon are being challenged. Yes. Yes. Or if your moon is in Pisces across from your sun in Virgo, then yes, this is a challenge point. But challenges are what take us from inertia to action. So I never, even though they can be challenging, they can have obstacles, they can be a force that we have to reckon with or an impediment that we have to reckon with, they're not bad, right? Because without them, we would just probably stay, you know, lazy in our reverie. we wouldn't really have any impetus to push us out there to become more than what we are or to claim our whole being. So the squares prevent that. They provide us with the challenge, right? The gauntlet that's being laid down. Are you going to rise to the challenge or are you going to sit there on your couch and sulk? And I'm not saying that any one of you out there is sulking on your couch, but I'm just saying that's, you know, the energy is, are you going to rise to the bait? Are you going to get it? And you're going to go outward. Are you going to go inward? Maybe, you know, what you need to rise to is a movement inward. So, but I don't know that without looking at your individual charts. So you have to become your own advocate for your own charts. Which brings me to something that was one of my ideas on Saturday, and I thought it was quite brilliant. I am going to put up for sale for you guys, and I'm going to make it cheap. It's only going to be $39. A 12-month personalized calendar that will look like this. This is December of 2019. This is what I do every day. Right. I get right now, I've got November sitting here. I've got December because I'm looking forward. I have December's webinar tomorrow. So I've been looking forward. And so this calendar tells me in two things, what's going on by the day for the world at large, for the bigger, wider world. But also if you can look in on one day here, I also write notes because I like to do that. The the blue, if you can see, like there's blue on top of black. The black tells us what's happening everywhere, but the blue tells me personally what's happening for me. What's happening for me personally. And accompanying this on a monthly basis is a day-by-day notation of what the energies mean for you. For you. So you get this, and you get a highlight of all the energies by month for you, and then a day-by-day for the energies for you personally. For all of 2020, $39. Now, you have to know this is a little bit of work on my part, but I think, you know, as many, you guys know enough now because of, you know, we've been on air together for, well, 3 years for some of you with me. Some of you are fairly new, but we've talked enough about some of these transits and what the aspects mean. And I think you could take it to the next level. Right? If you had it in front of you, you would know when I'm talking about the 4-degree Sagittarius new moon, you could look and see in your own chart, well, what is that going to mean for me today? Because you would have it. So I have not put that out there yet, but I will let you know as soon as I have that available. And why wouldn't you do that? Right? It's a lot of work on my part, but I'm willing to do it because I think it's so important. All right. Now, any questions before I go this morning? Amy, yes, North Node Pisces. This is definitely feeling a challenge for me, but positive changes. You're very welcome, Amy. So your issue here is going to be able to see the ideal versus the real, but lean into the imagination. Imagination and adventure really form a very important part of who you are. The South Node then would be in Virgo, and that's holding you down to the details. You want to know how it's going to go before you get there, but this is telling you got to be a little bit like the fool and be willing to take those steps, even if you don't know exactly where it goes. You're following the beat of a different drummer, you could say. You're almost, you know, you're taking action on faith. Faith that your imagination will lead you to the right places. But if you insist upon knowing all the details before you get there, you're taking all the fun out of it. And you're also kind of giving yourself a reality check that you don't necessarily need here. So get out of reality and get into your imagination and take action on wisdom in your imagination. Okay. Karen, a bit of random question. Shouldn't we look at our houses and planet transitions based on our rising sign rather than our sun sign? For example, if we look at other YouTube astrology stuff, why wouldn't rising sign readings be more accurate? Because it's only one point, right? The planets are the characters. They're the archetypes. So the rising sign is a point, and it's a sensitive point to be sure, and it does create a sense of self. But it isn't an archetype. There is a sign that sits on your rise, right? If mine's Cancer, which is ruled by the moon. So the moon is my archetypal PowerPoint. So I'm always going to watch the moon. No wonder I'm fascinated by the moon, right? So whatever your rising sign is, I'm not saying it's not important, but those planets are playing out an archetypal role, right? They are playing out a role. And what is that role? That's what we're looking at. The houses and the rising signs, these are all personal things. I don't have access to each of your personal charts right here in the morning. So I have to speak to the bigger picture. You then take that information and you look at what's going on at the rise, right? The rising sign is very important. It's sort of the mask that you are wearing, how you view the world personally. What kind of mask are you viewing this energy of the sun in Sagittarius conjunct the moon called a new moon? How are you viewing that? Well, that's going to be seen through your rising sign. It doesn't change fundamentally the energy that's available with the new moon, however. It just changes how you would apply that energy. I hope that makes sense, right? Because you each have a personalized chart and a personalized set of transits that are meaningful to you personally, but I'm looking at the bigger, wider picture. And then it's up to you then to apply that to what you know to be true for you. It's the only way that we can really do this and make sense out of it. Except for periodically when someone who does know their chart, you know, speaks up and tells me, oh, well, I have, you know, the north nodes across Virgo and Pisces, and that's going to be squaring my sun in Sagittarius or whatever. And so that's the only time I can get it to you personally or when you have a reading. So Camille, is the true node the same as the north node? So if when you look at the nodes, Camille, that's a really good question. They wobble. And so, for example, where's my little bookie book here? So just to give you an example, this month, the nodes have been direct on the 16th. They were retrograde on the 20th, 4 days later. And they go direct again on the 29th. So they wobble between forward motion and backward motion from our apparent position here on the earth, which means I was born at just one of those points where for a short moment, the node wobbled backwards to 29 degrees Leo. So instead, a lot of my contemporaries born still right around the same time I was, they were 0 degrees Virgo north nodes. So the nodes wobble a bit between direct motion and retrograde motion. So the true node takes that out of the picture and says the trajectory, the true place is this particular place. This is where it was on the day you were born. So overall, for me, the nodes were trending in Virgo, but on my birthday, they were actually in Leo. So that's why we have the true node. That's why I always ask for the true node. I want to know where the true node was. And Amy, Catherine Worcester, good morning. Any other questions? And Karen, by the way, that was a great question. I love those kinds of questions. There's just so much, there's so many little pieces to it's like a clock, right? There's so many moving parts. It would be like taking apart your computer and looking at the processor and thinking that's the only part that's important in the grand scheme of your computer, but it's not. It's all these parts, right, that make the big picture. Camille, mine was in Leo on my birthday also. Were you born in 1961, Camille? Or maybe you were born earlier, later. Anyway, that is it for me today. I will see you tomorrow morning. Tomorrow, we're going to take a deeper dive into what does the Earth and the Sun at gate 34 and 20 mean? Maybe we'll dive into our, before I go, who cares if it's after 9? Let's do a card for the new moon. Allison, where are you this morning? You would have reminded me to do that. And Suzanne Fulmer, where are you? I haven't seen you out there in a long time. You must be at work or something now. If you're listening later, check in with me. Ah, I have No Place Like Home is the card. 50 change. No Place Like Home is our card for the week. I'll draw an animal card too for us. Somebody had that card on Friday when we did personal readings. 50. The essential meaning is authenticity, coming home to yourself, feeling at home, arriving at a place where you just fit, being comfortable in your own skin. And the message says, home feels safe and secure. It's a comfortable place to rest and create, a place that is known and you can call yours. This card signals that your ability to trust yourself and feel at home in your own skin is beginning to solidify as you claim your dignity and integrity, aspects of yourself no one can take away from you. You know who you are. You hold your head high, yet with neither pride nor humility. Instead, you stand as the observer, seeing through the eyes of your soul. This puts you in a position of power and strength. Power and strength. We were just talking about this. Gate 34. Authenticity is your home. You are safe here in the house of your spirit and spirit with a capital S. Nice. All right, let's get a card for us for the animal kingdom. Oop. So, And we get Parrot Spirit. Card number 45, which is a 9. Watch your words. Watch your words. That's a positive thing for us to know. And card 45. What are you saying to yourself? What message are you repeating? I had this conversation with my husband before he walked out the door this morning. This is too funny. Is it something that makes you feel good about yourself and reminds you of your strengths and potential? Parrots mimic the sounds around them, and when parrot spirit appears, it is time to be more mindful of your self-talk and its qualities. What do you say to others? Are you repeating what you truly believe? Remembering to speak with light and love can become a habit. Be generous with compliments and thanks, affirming all that is good so that your loving, healing words will be heard throughout the jungle, cutting through the noise and inspiring others. Listen for the words that remind you of all the strength, abundance, and joy in your life and in the world around you, and then repeat them, affirming what is real, true, and nurturing to the soul. The universe will reflect back to you the story you tell. Words matter, so choose ones that lift you up and inspire others to remember that beauty surrounds us. Wow, can you tell the sun just came out? Oh gosh. All right. So we heard power, strength. Those are our key words as we move into this week. It's pretty funny that the cards mimic that through Parrot and No Place Like Home. So there we have that. Okay, guys. Thanks very much. Take care. Have a wonderful day. And let's see comments before I leave. Camille says, yes, 1961. I gotcha. That's the same year I was born. Colleen, have a great day. Karen, I thought the rising set the placement for the rest of the chart. It does for the houses. It does indeed for the houses and then the planets and their placement in the houses, Karen. Lisa, just got a text from the children's father. Ugh, talk about dealing with. Let's change the language out there on that, Lisa, and say, I really value speaking to my husband's, my ex-husband or my children's father, however that is. Healing could use a card. Mimi home card is perfect for today and tomorrow with the new moon. Parrot seems quite Sagittarius. Wishing all a fine day. There we go. So take that and run with it. Have a wonderful day. See you tomorrow morning. Bye for now.